Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
Great to have your company on a Tuesday morning. Number one draft pick Aaron Cadman's going to join us shortly. David Zita will tie it all together for us from Fox Footy. After night one of the draft, we're about a third of the way through. We've got the remainder of the draft intake to be read out tonight. What was your take on last night? Did you watch it? What did you make of it? 1-300-736-736. And most importantly, did your team get a player that you were happy with, and how glass half full are you on your latest recruit if your club didn't nab someone last night? Just coming back to the weights, though, in regards to the average weight of an AFL player. So Nick Dacos, Bobby Hiltos and Stengel, the boys at the back tell us all 73 kilos. Liam Baker, plenty good player, Liam Baker, 71 kilos. Jake Bowie, 71. Jack Marnie as well. Brad Close, premiership player for the Cats, is 71. The lightest listed player, Scoob, Phoenix Spicer, 64 kegs.
Wow.
64 kilos. Tell you what, you must like the look of Aaron Cadman, though, if you're a GWS supporter. The teenager has been in the club sights since it manoeuvred up to the prize number one selection during the trade period, knowing that he was open to a move north. Geez, he handles himself well. We'll speak to him a little bit later on, but 195 centimetres. He was the leading goal kicker in the NAB League this year. He was an All-Australian. He was a captain of Vic Country as well. He appears to be nailed on. So Aaron Cadman, pick one. No surprises in the end.
82.2 is the average weight of those players we went through in the top 10 picks last night.
82.2.
So that's a bit heavier than previous years, isn't it?
That's why you were just furiously doing your sums down there. I wonder why you were giving me nothing during the air break.
Calculator.
So the Giants didn't bid on Will Ashcroft, but North did. So that forced the Lions to cough up. But they didn't really. He was a steal, the son of Marcus Ashcroft. You know, many clubs had him as the best player available, and they coughed up a bunch of picks between 34 and 41 to get him in. So the father-son is a great rule. It's a romantic side of the game. If you're lucky enough to get them or a clutch of them in a short period of time, as some clubs have done, then it's always big when they nominate. And we'll get to Nick Dacos later, who's going to keep the 35. After going to Collingwood and saying, can I keep...
So the 35 was always for their top draft pick, was it?
That was.
Yeah.
I think that was in the last decade after Simon Prestigiacomo selflessly pulled out of the grand final that year after training, said, I'm not right. The club just couldn't believe that decision. So to honour him, they gave his old jumper number to their first pick each year. So some big players have worn that at Collingwood down the years. Obviously, Nick Dacos wore it. But it's something that's close to his heart, and you can understand why. His old man playing so many great games for Collingwood as he did. He embraced it, and he wants to keep it. And the club said, we'll let you keep it, which I think is nice.
I think that's spot on.
So they paid tribute.
It looks good on him. He's a Dacos.
He's got to have 35 on, doesn't he?
Of course.
Absolutely. So the Kangaroos, who had done that trade with GWS for their pick one, then went back-to-back at 3-4, as it was in the end, for Harry Sheasel and George Wardlaw. And a lot of draft analysts in love with those two players. They effectively get two for the price of one, given that trade. So that is a lot of upside there for the Kangaroos. Max is in Williams Landing. I reckon Max would have kept a really close eye on the draft, the first round of it last night. Morning, Maxie.
Good morning, guys. I just want to find out, like, two things. One, Ollie Hollins, that went to my club, Carlton, at pick 11, and also Filippo, who went to St Kilda. Now, I'm a bit surprised that Filippo actually dropped down to 10, because I think they have him listed at top 5-6 player, and he was meant to be going to Essendon, and I think we were after someone like Jed Buslinger, I think, at that pick of 11 that we had. Can you tell me more about that?
I thought, well, in all the Phantom drafts I saw, Max, the top 11 went exactly as I think most had predicted. I know we have Cal on the station a lot from the AFL website, and I think the top 11 was his top 11. I think the surprises came in the back end of the first round, of course, when we had Sydney and Hawthorn trading and those bids coming in from the Western Bulldogs as well, and Sydney, as I mentioned. So probably a surprise in the back end of the draft, but as far as I'm aware, I think the top 11 went pretty much to script. Happy to be educated on that. Just on that Elijah Sardis, though, the most hated statistic at Essendon reared its head again last night with his recruitment. He's the first Essendon player born after Essendon last won a final. I know. I know
why you're saying that.
Hey, I didn't say it. That's not my stat.
I know exactly why you're saying it, because there's going to be someone run past our window here in a minute.
Yeah. Well, he was
born. Come in here and shout at you.
He was born on the 18th of October, Elijah, 2004. That was about a month after the Bombers beat Melbourne in an elimination final, their last sweet taste of September success. Bailey Humphrey.
Hey, Jules.
Yes. Melbourne, by the way, did come hard for that pick five. That was reported by Cal as well at the AFL website. A mammoth 3 first-round pick package, if you like. Pick 13 and 2 future first-rounders, I think, at one stage. But Essendon didn't budge. And as we mentioned earlier, Adrian Dodoro, the list manager, was chuffed. Bailey Humphrey to Gold Coast. Don't know a lot about Bailey, but a powerfully built midfielder out of the Gippsland Power. I think he'd had a knee injury, but bounced back pretty hard. Cameron McKenzie went to Hawthorn. Geelong, the famous trade with Gold Coast, the pick 7, the Jack Bowes. It ended up being pick 8 and ended up going local for a midfielder, Jai Clark, who was highly rated as well. And that left the West Coast Eagles to go local as well. And that's when they got Ruben Ginby at pick 9. Then Mateus Philippou, of course, we spoke about. Ollie Holland as well for the Blues. Popular outside operator from the Bush Rangers. Bit of run and carry to complement the Bulls there.
How long ago was it when a young fella would do an ACL and clubs would wait for him to start playing again before they drafted him? Now, with the advances in medicine and how the players get over these ACLs, they just take them while they have an ACL.
Yep.
It's quite extraordinary.
Yep. Yeah, well, history's littered with players who have slid down the order only to show all the promise they did before they got injured in their draft year and really make clubs look a little bit silly in the end. So Will Ashcroft went at pick 2, the father-son. Jasper Fletcher went at pick 12, the other Lions' father-son, after the bid came from the Western Bulldogs. And as we said earlier, suspect no love lost there, given the Josh Dunkley exchange. It was a tad spicy over the trade period. And Luke Beveridge said they had to pony up. In the end, they made them pony up another way. That was to get Jasper in, but he had spent 6 years in the Lions Academy as well. And we did speak to Adrian Fletcher last week, and he was emotional last night, as we suspected, and who could blame him? Must be amazing to watch your son or your daughter be taken by an AFL club. And then the Sydney Swans, well, what they did was amazing last night.
Explain to me what they did.
Well, let me look it up so I get it done properly. I've just lost it on my page.
Sorry,
here at the moment.
Question without notice. Yeah. I don't understand what they did. And again, I put my hands up. I'm not a draft aficionado, let me tell you.
So they put the bid in for GWS. I've just lost my notes.
So they matched the bids, did they?
They put the bids in for the father-son at Adelaide, and they put the bids in as well for GWS. And then they ended up doing the trade with Hawthorn. That was the only live trade of the night. And perhaps they put those bids in to buy themselves a little bit of time to strike that trade, if you like. So, we know that they've been...
Are you saying they were already talking to Hawthorn?
Oh, absolutely they would have been. And we know that Hawthorn have been desperate to fast-track this development as much as they can. You know, Mira's gone, Mitchell's gone, Gunston's gone, McAvoy, Shields retired. They really wanted that extra top 20 pick. They couldn't get it in the exchange period. They ended up getting it last night. They gave up plenty, though. So Sydney gave them pick 18. Hawthorn had to give them back 27 this year, plus a second rounder next year and a third rounder next year. So with the draft next year rated extremely highly by all the experts, the talent that's likely to be available in the 20s and 30s in 12 months' time, they reckon could be similar to this year's late first rounders. So, and those picks Sydney get, of course, are tied to Hawthorn. So if the Hawks have another quiet season as they redevelop, then the Swans are going to absolutely cash in. Maybe 2 high second rounders and a third rounder for Weddle, effectively. Tim's in Brighton. He wanted to call in about the draft and the club's academy setups as well. G'day, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Sam. Top of the morning, Simon. I want to ask a question about the academies at clubs. I really don't know how they work. I'm a St Kilda supporter, and I thought I believe that McKenzie was through the St Kilda Academy. So why did he not end up at St Kilda? And if they spend all the time grooming this guy, don't they get some sort of preferential treatment in picking him?
Well, the rules have all changed now, Tim, regarding the AFL NGA picks and the academy picks as well. There's less access to those players when they do come at the pointy end of the program. There's a protected zone now, if you like, for some of those players in the first 20 picks of the draft. When there's father sons, that complicates matters, of course, because we know they can still be acquired if the price and the bid is matched, if you like, which Brisbane worked really hard to do during the trade period to trade back and acquire some of those later picks, if you like. So just coming back to Adelaide, Sydney for a second, they went with pick 16, they went for the Giants Academy midfielder Harry Rowston, who was also an under 18 All-Australian this year, Scoob. And then they went to Adelaide to for the father-son bid on Max Michelini as well at 17, and then came the only live trade of the night with Hawthorn. So Cam McKenzie comes in at number 7, I think a lifelong Hawthorn supporter, and then Josh Weddle was the Athletic defender, which might have taken some Hawthorn supporters by surprise, given they thought they might have gone down the midfielder path, but in the end, they've plumped for another key back, which, you know, again, from a list perspective, might surprise, given they've got a few in that part of the ground.
Portugal 1, Uruguay 0.
They've scored.
They've given the goal to Cristiano.
Ronaldo
scored.
Not
sure whether he touched his head or not.
Right. Okay.
He's claimed it, Cristiano.
The medical sub off the text here from Simo was initially being considered as a concussion sub. The tactical sub and more umpires going to be hard to watch next year. All substitutes at the current World Cup wear a vest. No one has ever suggested or indicated that is a shocking look. Why is wearing a vest at the AFL so bad? Remember in the warm-up, most players put on a vest at least once. Forget what they're wearing. The vest was just a bit of a comical look at times, and the fact that players had to be subbed off. Players were subbed on. It is a concept foreign to our game, historically, isn't it? I mean, we love the unique aspect of our game, players on and off. I wouldn't be comparing the soccer setup with our setup. And we await the finer print, as we said. So we tread somewhat warily. But one thing we hated was the debutants coming in for their first game with the red vest on, or the green vest on, right from the start.
Do you know when the fine print comes out?
Oh, it'll be soon. Have to be soon. Have to be imminent.
Today? Tomorrow?
No, maybe not that imminent. By the way, what is imminent though? And we've had a lot of questions about it, the fixture. I'm told next week for the fixture, maybe later next week.
Right.
So obviously we won't want to drop that while the draft is on. We've had the AFLW season coming to a crescendo as well. So the draft next week. But the AFL Competition Committee told clubs yesterday that they would recommend to the Commission for the abolishment of the Medi-sub that was so rorted this year and brought in just before the 2021 season. So the bench will have four on it. It will be a fifth member used as a sub for tactical reasons. Someone text in on the sub as well. It was Sam from Massa. I'm sure where Massa is, but Sam says, surely the tactical sub comes on when the coach feels, but surely someone doesn't have to be subbed out for that to happen. Sam, someone's got to be subbed out. Otherwise, you'll just be bringing that fifth player on straight in the first minute of the game for a numerical advantage. Someone's going to have to be subbed out of that. Why didn't Josh Dacos stick with jumper 35? Smells of arrogance from Nick. That's a bit hard, Big Roo. That's a bit hard. It might not be for everyone to inherit the old man's number and everything that comes with it, but Nick has never been one to shy away from the spotlight or the pressure or anything that comes with it. So I like it. I like the romantic side of it.
That was some sort of first year.
Unbelievable.
For someone to come in and just slip into a open age footy team and do what he did for the year was just extraordinary. I don't reckon we'll witness that for a long time, a recruit coming in their first year having the influence on the game that he did.
Amazing, wasn't it?
That's very difficult to do.
So any other topic you want out of the draft last night, we can definitely get to 1300 736 736. North Melbourne with that injection of talent that Clarko would be happy with. Sheasel and Wardlaw at 3 and 4.